Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Creative Contact. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that. Today's episode is going to be a little bit quick and dirty, one of those. You already know how it goes. When it's quick and dirty, we're going to get in, do what we got to do, and get out, because I got a lot that I want to talk to you about in a short amount of time. It's my third to last day in Mexico City, and then right to Buenos Aires, and so I'm packing up. I'm kind of saying goodbye to friends. A lot to do between now and then. And I wanted to make sure that before I got wrapped up in craziness and moving to a new city and all that jazz, I came and talked to you about a couple things first. So let's jump into it. What are we going to cover, first of all, in this whole pod? A couple things I want to talk about. One, the holidays. I came to you on Christmas Day, I believe, or Christmas Eve about goal setting. My contrarian perspective on goal setting, but so we're already kind of covered New Year's Eve goal setting, New Year's thing. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how the book launch went. I'm going to do a podcast a little bit later on that's going to be the full deep dive into what I learned watching the book, plans for marketing it, strategies, what I do differently, etc., etc. If you haven't checked it out already, the best I can do is currently available everywhere you get books. Check it out on Amazon, or you can get it through my website, keelorion.com/book, if you're curious. Thank you to everyone so far who has purchased it or written a review or given me feedback on it. It means the world. So released a book. Going to talk a little bit about kind of what that launch looked like. Two, my Dukes just left. So I've been traveling through Mexico, Central Mexico with mom the last few weeks. And so I want to talk about the revelations that I had through that. It's always a blast hanging with mom. At the same time, it is always challenging as well because I don't spend that much time one-on-one with anybody unless I'm in a relationship. So it's always interesting when I'll either go home to see my family for a month at a time, and so then I'll obviously be in close proximity to them, or if I'm doing something like I'm having some sort of a travel adventure, like with my brother last year, or if it's with a friend, we're having some sort of thing, and so I don't spend that like extended periods of time with my family all that often. So every once in a blue moon, maybe once or twice a year. And so I feel like every time, you know, they say there's some like Buddhist revelation or something like that, that's like, as soon as you think you're enlightened, go spend time with your family. And there is something that is always really interesting and challenging about that, both in terms of how just identity and decisions, and it really, I think, helps me use the tools that I've been developing over the last few years. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And then I want to talk to you about what's next for kind of what's coming up. I'm going to be doing a pod here pretty soon talking about this new business idea that I'm going to be launching. So if there are any folks out there that are interested in writing, if that's you, if you're interested in writing a book, that's something that I'm kind of going to be spinning up and talking about a little bit later on. I'm going to do a whole pod on it, pitching it and talking about what kind of is included in that. But I feel like that could be a really cool service that I could offer. Now that I've launched my first book and I've told people I was writing a book, a lot of people started to reach out and said, hey, Kia, I've wanted to write a book. What goes into self-publishing? And so I was like, oh, this could, that kind of clicked on my little business brain. I was like, this could be a really cool service people obviously want and need. So maybe that would be down the line as well. Sorry for that. Okay, so let's jump into it first. Mexico City, my thoughts on it, how it went, book launch, all that stuff. Quick and dirty is, I love Mexico City. One of those little, whatever they're called, it's like a Facebook memory or whatever it is that like popped up. That's like, oh, this is where you were a few years ago. And it's been interesting around this time for the last 3 years, I've been here in Mexico City. It was like 3 years ago. I was like, oh, I'm in Mexico City, you know, during January. And then last year I was here for a little photo adventure with my brother. We went to Guadalajara and Mexico City, and we snapped some photos, and so that was cool. It's interesting how much I talk about wanting to be other places, but that sort of the difference between what you say you're going to do or what you say you want to do and then what your actions actually portray. And so that has been interesting, seeing how much I talk about where I want to go and do these things, and then actually at the end of the day, how much I really love Mexico City, because I've been here in January for the last 3 years. And so it is sort of interesting, you know, there's this a question that I think about a lot, you know, is in terms of, you know, what do you say you want to do compared to what do you actually do? Like, what do you actually, what do your, what is your, What are your actions proving that maybe your what your words aren't? So that has been telling. I'm still not sure I'm going to call it home yet because I still want to try this European adventure, but there is something really special about Mexico City. So that said, I'll get to a little bit later on why I chose Buenos Aires, but that's going to be this Saturday. So in a couple days from now, I'm bouncing down there, excited for it. I'm also a little bit nervous. Never been there. Have wanted to go for a long time, but now is the time. I figure if I'm not going now, I'm going to fall in love. I'm going to get somebody pregnant. I'm going to, you know, want to settle down. Bro, when my mom and I were traveling around, we saw maybe three different types of American bullies, this type of dog, and I fell in love. We saw a bulldog named Ramon that I think stole my heart. And then we saw like other, we saw a couple American bullies. And I was like, I need to stop nomading just so I can get a dog. Like, I love these dogs. So that's another kind of one of Kia's goals. First, find a place that I can call home. Two, get an American bully. Three, get a girlfriend. Four, get some kids. That's the way that I'm, that's my order of events. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Right now, my main focus this year is 6 feet, six figures. Growing myself a couple inches, growing the business of six figures, but we'll get to that. Okay. The travel adventure with mom. I wanted to talk about this because this, I feel like, was a really great practice in putting my money where my mouth is, right? I talk a lot about meditation and Viktor Frankl, right? The difference between the space between stimulus and response, these things that I think are so important to practice. And I know, understand meditation is not for everybody, but for me, I feel like this is something that has been, it's like going to the gym, but I feel like for my mind, like every morning, 20 minutes, and I feel like it's lifting. It's like a workout for my mind, helping me build that space between feeling something and having a reaction to it. And I'm not always great at it. If I'm tired, it shortens that time. If I'm hungry, it shortens that reaction time. If I have to go to the, like any physicals, I realize that it's when I'm physically kind of struggling, it shortens that reaction time, as well as just kind of day to day, you know, by at the end of the day, those sorts of things, it's harder. So it was cool to actually have a chance to put some of these things I talk a lot about and study and read a lot about actually into motion. And so at the beginning of the trip with my mom, so normally when my mom will come down, we'll hang for around, it's like maybe like 12 to 14 days, somewhere like that. It's like a travel day tacked on each side. So it's around 2 weeks, but never quite that much. But now we started in Chiang Mai, I think in 2019, we've done Mexico, we did Oaxaca, Guadalajara, Puerto Vallarta before, Sayulita. That was maybe 2-3 years ago. We've done Medellin, and then we did Malaysia about 6 months ago. Malaysia, we did like Borneo, excuse me, Georgetown, and Kuala Lumpur. And then this time we did Central Mexico, so we had Mexico City. My mom doesn't love big cities, though, so I wanted to take her to Querétaro and then also Guanajuato, which are two, like they're progressively, like, smaller cities. So we started in big city in Mexico City, and then went to, like, Querétaro, which is a little bit, like, mid-size, and then Guanajuato, I'd say small, but depends on how you calculate those things for yourself. But I realized my mom likes those kind of more small-town, small-city vibes that are clean, maybe some cobblestones. Maybe, you know, things made by hand, little trinkets and knickknacks and that type of shit. She can go around and shop, and so she likes that stuff. But it was powerful to spend that much time with mom because we both, I think, you know, apples fall far from the tree. We both like to like have a little bit of nap in the afternoon. She's a fantastic travel buddy because our activities, things we like to do, lines up pretty quickly in our energy levels. But I started to realize in the afternoons and the evenings, we could get a little bit kind of like, I don't want to say snarky, but a little bit like that. You know what I mean? Like things that when she would say something and maybe I thought it was incorrect. So like maybe she, like a Spanish term, like a lot of what we would have, I wouldn't even say arguments, but a little kind of like, like little tension, little piece of friction were over being right, which I thought was so fascinating because I'm not normally that type of a guy who feels like I need to be right. But I started to notice that if she would say something like a word, she'd be like, oh, say it was, for example, there was a word that she was like, this is what it means to be tired. She's like, oh, this is a word that means like, I'm tired of this thing. Like, in English, you're like, oh, I'm tired of, you know, I'm tired of eating Snickers bars for breakfast. Terrible example, but you see what I mean. I would say, oh, no, it's this word. She'd say, no, it's that word. And then we'd like get into this like little like weird tit for tat thing. And another one was actually, I have a sweatshirt. And it was so strange. She was like, oh, no, that's a shirt. And I was like, no, it's a sweatshirt. And she's like, well, I'm pretty sure it. And we had this other weird argument about the sweatshirt. In my mind, I'm like, Kia, what if, like, just to, like, what's the point? You know, like, agree, just agree with her. Like, just let it go. But when you're traveling too, you're like kind of sleep deprived and it's an adventure, so it's fun, but you're also kind of tired. There's a lot of stimulations. You're often kind of like in between excited and exhausted. It's the sort of like in between state where you're always on. And so you can get tired quickly and you're out in the sun and you're hungry, thirsty, et cetera, et cetera. So you have a lot of like, these sort of like bodily functions that are happening at the same time that you're having this experience. So as I always say, you're having a biological experience at the same time. And then that biological experience often plays into the emotional experience. And so a couple days into the trip, I started to notice this about us, that I was starting to act a little bit differently. And I don't, in a way that I didn't feel like was my best self. And when I dove into it more, like, you know, there'd be times that I would think, I'm like, okay, Kia, what is going on? Like, where's this friction coming from? What's going on? And I was kind of struggling with it, to be honest, because I think I'm just a sensitive guy, if that weren't blatantly obvious from trying to be an R&B singer for 10 years. But, you know, I'm a sensitive soul. You know, I don't like a lot of loud music or loud lights. I'm not sure I'm like a hypersensitive person, at HSP, but I'm a sensitive dude. And so I'm just really keenly aware of these things. And so it wasn't anything that I felt like was worth bringing up, because I realized that a lot of it was internal. So there were things that were really bothering me, but I realized that they had nothing to do with my mom and everything to do with me. For example, my mom loves birds. She loves bird watching. She loves listening to birds. She loves identifying birds. She's a birder. And she has this app on her phone. It's called the Merlin Bird App. And when we're out and like if we go out walking around or like going on hikes or something, she'll take her phone out. And in order to record the birds, you're not supposed to talk because it's an audio recognition app. So she'd hold the app up, or she'd hold the phone up with the app on, and it would record the bird and say, oh, that's a yellow-breasted warbler or something like that. I don't know shit about birds. But in order to do that, we wouldn't talk anymore because the thing has to record audio. So say we're hiking, and I'd be walking and talking. I might be walking in front of her, and she might be following behind me. And then I'd be walking, telling her story, and then I'd turn around and realize that she was like 50 feet behind me, and she'd been recording audio trying to listen to a bird or something. And that, I felt this immediate frustration around this. One, because then we're continually stopping to listen to birds. And two, then it interrupts this sort of, anytime you're having a conversation or kind of talking with someone, if you have to stop repeatedly, it's kind of hard to like, jump in and then you have to stop and then jump in. If you've ever, you know, taken a phone call in between a conversation you had with someone, or you have to stop and like, it throws the kind of rhythm off of like a normal conversation. Anyways, I was starting to feel, and this has happened for a lot of trips, like in Malaysia, it happened in Colombia. And I realized that what was happening was the friction, what I was frustrated at, was actually had nothing to do with my mom, that I was assigning a certain moral judgment to the action, meaning my mom was just doing the action, period. That was happening. It's not a good or a bad thing. My mom's into birds. She's recording birds. That's like a neutral event. Me getting pissed off about it was because my expectations of what a hike is compared to the reality of what it is hiking with mom were not aligned. And for me, when I was thinking about what I wanted out of a hike, when I think of a hike, I think of it as like good exercise, maybe good conversation. You're moving, you're getting your body, you're getting sunlight, you're getting after it. Compared to what it would look like with my mom with the birds is it's like the kind of constant stopping and starting, interrupted conversation, which again, in itself is not a problem. And so what I realized was if I could change my perspective on my expectations, how much of a return on investment I could get on my happiness when I would be hiking with mom, rather than being frustrated every time we stopped. If that was part of the expectation, was that she was going to take her phone out, it was going to be, this kind of stopping, starting. Maybe we didn't have fluid conversations. To go in with that, knowing that that's what it was, making that the expectation, then the day would be much smoother. Every time we'd be out, it would be much smoother because then I wouldn't have this, I don't want to say resentment, but I wouldn't feel that tension with her every time we were going out there. And rather than, I'd be curious your take on this, but for me, rather than saying, "Hey, mom, it really bothers me that you're doing that. Do you mind stopping or not doing that?" For me, rather than trying to change someone else's behavior, I realized for myself, I'd say 10 times out of 10, probably easier for me to change my own reaction to their behavior. Does that make sense? So to me, thinking about rather than everything that my mom does that bothers me, rather than trying to get her to change all of these things and trying to change who she is, her behavior, whatever, how about I just change myself? What if, or not even myself, but what if I just change my reaction to those things? How much more powerful is that puts me in the driver's seat, right? On some stoicism shit, that the action happens regardless. And it's like my story or morality that I'm assigning to, is it right? Is it wrong? Is it good? Is it bad? That is actually everything. And if I could do that more, how much of a smoother trip we'd have? Because then I wouldn't be feeling these, I don't want to say negative feelings, but they aren't pleasant. They were positive emotions for sure around things like that. Or if she, another one is if we're at dinner, her having her phone out. These sorts of things that, again, to incite behavior in someone else can be a big ask compared to how can I change my relationship to the emotions inside of me internally? And that understanding that that the emotions aren't always an accurate, I guess, heuristic of what the stimulation is. So my reactions to whatever's happening does not mean that those things are necessarily truth, or does not mean that those are necessarily they aren't worth necessarily listening to. Or I think it's good to pay attention to them, but that doesn't mean I have to accept them. That sounds weird. I mean, I'll accept them, but it doesn't mean I have to believe them, I guess is one way to put it. So I'll give you another example. When I was younger, I think a lot of my insecurities come from feeling stupid. And not like I'm down to make a fool of myself. I do it weekly on this podcast. I do it daily and out here in real life. But it's feeling, I guess, stupid at an expense of a joke for someone else to gain clout with someone else, if that makes sense. I explained that terribly. Let me put it like this. When I was younger, I felt like, especially in middle school, high school, I would have certain friends who I thought we were super tight until we were around other groups of friends. And then the people I thought we were super tight, the friend I thought we were super tight, they would make fun of me in order to gain favor with the cool kids. And so I guess it's almost like being the butt of a joke in order for someone else to gain favor with somebody else. That's maybe like the easy way to put it. And I still have a lot of, there's some residue, some intense emotional residue. I'm still sensitive to that. There's a lot of things. Listen, I write self-deprecating humor. You can pick on me for a zillion. There's a lot you can make fun of for me. There's a lot to make fun of here. We'll put it like that. But I guess that for me is all about the delivery. Is it are we picking on me and we're in on the joke together, or is the joke at my expense so that it's for someone else's amusement, like a third party or someone else who's there? And so what would happen a lot of times is I'd be with my mom, and we might be talking to someone. She might be a Mexican lady who was selling a t-shirt or something like that. And my mom would she might like pick on me or like make fun of me or correct my Spanish or something. Obviously this is a story that I was telling myself, like in order to gain favor with like the vendor, like the, whoever the person was. So I felt like, again, very tiny things. These aren't like my mom being like, you're a piece of shit. It was like, it would be like, it would be all in jest. But I noticed myself having those same emotions, that sensitivity, that sort of, again, this and I could say an outsized emotional reaction to these actions. And I was really struggling with it for a bit until this is the sauce right here, y'all. 21 minutes in, I've been rambling a lot, but here's the sauce. I remember when I was at this Buddhist retreat almost a year ago now, it was last February, last March, and they were talking about this one monk who would travel with a translator, but his translator like got on his nerves a bit. And they're like, dude, you're like a super famous monk. Why are you still traveling with this translator? And he's saying, because if I remove him, he's like, he's giving me a chance to practice. And it sounds so simple, but that simple reframe for me completely made the trip. It was like, oh, like this isn't my mom doing something to like intentionally hurt my feelings. I was like, this is my chance to practice. Like, I don't spend a ton of time with people that make me feel this way. And I think we're always especially sensitive with family just because they've known you for your whole life. There is something about that that you will, to me, I feel like I'm always, because I love them, I guess, so much more than anyone else, that there's my reactions are sometimes not... My reactions aren't exactly on par with the stimulus that's happened. This is a perfect example. And so as soon as that switched, say we'd be out or something, again, my mom would correct my Spanish, like you kind of pick on me and make fun of me in front of these other folks. Again, totally adjust the beat. I was laughing too. It was a good time. It was like she was trying to hurt my feelings. And if I felt those things, in my mind, again, I'd say, Kiki, here's your chance to practice. And it was fascinating how much that helped. It was like it completely... changed the trajectory of, I guess that like my emotional experience on the trip. And as soon as that happened, it was like, it made it easier for me to really work on whatever I had going on internally, that it was like almost irrelevant of whatever my mom was doing. It was like, how can I like practice the self-work needed in order to not be triggered by these things as much anymore? Because my mom, it's like very clear, I got so lucky with my, she's like the best mom ever, that I didn't want to bring it up even because they were so small in that regard too, that it was almost like it was so far from her intention to ever hurt my feelings. And so that's what, you know, when someone's kind of like turning the knife a little bit, like when they're jabbing you a little bit to try to get a reaction or get something from you. My mom, what, like this would never in a million years, it was like her, she just wanted to have a good time. She was joking around the lady. She knows I like to play hard too. You know, I joke around a lot, sarcastic, and it can be a little biting sometimes. So I knew she'd feel bad about it, and I didn't want her to change her behavior, honestly, that much, because I didn't think it was like worth it even for her to be sensitive to that, because it wasn't even like that big of a deal. And so that reframe, though, anytime we would have like some, we would have tension about certain things, again, a lot of times it was around these sort of like tit for tat being right when we're tired or just kind of little like shitty behavior things. Sometimes I would get in a funk and wouldn't be able to shake it. I would say, hey, Key, you're getting, you know, it's your chance to practice. And it's really, it sounds so simple, but if you really take these frames seriously, how much they can change your life. And it did for me. That was honestly such a, it's getting dark. I'm going to actually turn this up a little bit. Whoa. It was crazy how much that really made things easier for me. So, anyways, we're 25 minutes now. I promise I'll try to keep this quick and dirty. So the last bit I want to talk. So anyways, Tripathon was great. We ate amazing food. I put her on the enchiladas. I learned a bunch of different new foods. We had like a great time doing a bike tour. We climbed up this big rock called La Peña de Bernal, and mom, she was really struggling like with battling her fear at certain points because it was windy, it was loud, there wasn't a lot of like things to hold on to, and it was cool. I kind of like sat with her at a moment. We had a moment together and she overcame her fear. We climbed to the top. We had a really great adventure. And it was also something that I just think reminds me how lucky I am to have a parent that I'm excited to travel with, because I realize how few people have that. And just, it was difficult because when you get in it, once you get into sort of like travel mode, like it feels like time just goes into hyperspeed. And you're like, what did we even do? You know, it feels like almost like this distant memory now. And it was like 3 days ago, but trying really hard to be like present and be in it, because I know that I won't get these moments forever. And she's 63 now. And I'm really proud of her still being physically active. I also know this decade, things will be, this is when things start to get, you know, she gets real. And so try to keep that in the back of my mind, you know, that like, this is, embrace these moments, man, appreciate it. Like, good, bad, and the ugly, all of it. And so that was my trip with mom. Powerful, got a lot out of it. And looking forward to our next one. The upcoming adventure of Buenos Aires, I was working with a friend, actually a couple, dear couple, who I really appreciate a lot. And I was working with them. We decided to go our separate ways because I had this other kind of businessy thing I wanted to pursue a little bit, which I'll talk to you about next time. Just a little cliffhanger. But right now, that's kind of my goal, is I think I'm going to start looking for part-time jobs so that way I can subsidize my lifestyle, my writing habit, and build out this new little business that I want to talk to you about a little bit later on, about helping people write their books. I think that'd be really cool, like whether it's memoir or short story, but I think especially things that are like nonfiction, like memoir-ish things, I think might be my specialty just because that's what I love to do. And I like fiction, but obviously I don't know it as well as memoir, you know. So if people are like, oh, I have this story I want to tell, I feel like I could kind of help people. I don't have to be the best writer, but I think I could be a great writing coach. I'm calling it a book doula. Like, I'm going to help you birth your books. Just where I'm at with it right now. But if you're interested, let me know. I'm going to be kind of building this out more, this service, and just throwing out more ideas here shortly about helping people with that, because I think it could be cool and potentially, you know, my next little online business venture. So anyways, y'all, thanks for tuning in. That's Kia's kind of crazy 30-foot view on travel adventures recently, where I'm at, what I'm up to, book release went well. I feel like I ran out of time talking about feelings, but there's a lot I want to talk about with the book launch. So maybe we'll table that, and that'll be on separate pod for next time. So thank you so much for tuning in, as always. Appreciate y'all more than you know. If you're here, still rocking with the boy, you're a real one. I was thinking about this the other day. I started potting in, I think, 2016. So 8 years, maybe 2 more years. I've been at this for a decade. Pretty nuts. All right. Thanks for tuning in, as always. Hasta luego. Peace.